بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء، ومن يشرك بالله فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا. إن يدعون من دونه إلا إناثا، وإن يدعون إلا شيطانا مريدا. لعنه الله وقال لأتخذن من عبادك نصيبا مفروضا. ولأضلنهم ولأمنينهم ولآمرنهم فليبتكن آذان الأنعام ولآمرنهم فليغيرن خلق الله. ومن يتخذ الشيطان وليا من دون الله فقد خسر خسرانا مبينا. يعدهم ويمنيهم وما يعدهم الشيطان إلا غرورا. أولئك مأواهم جهنم ولا يجدون عنها محيصا. والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات سندخلهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا. وعد الله حقا ومن أصدق من الله قيلا. ليس بأمانيكم ولا أماني أهل الكتاب، من يعمل سوءا يجز به ولا يجد له من دون الله وليا ولا نصيرا. ومن يعمل من الصالحات من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فأولئك يدخلون الجنة ولا يظلمون نقيرا. ومن أحسن دينا ممن أسلم وجهه لله وهو محسن واتبع ملة إبراهيم حنيفا، واتخذ الله إبراهيم خليلا. ولله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، وكان الله بكل شيء محيطا. Shall we start today from Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 116? And there are a few subjects that are going to be discussed today. First and foremost, the issue of shirk and how evil shirk is and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to forgive it. Secondly, the issue of the tricking of the shaitan, how the shaitan is always pushing and trying to lead as many people as he can astray. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will discuss about the issue of how Allah will reward the people who do good deeds, and the people who do bad, if Allah wants, He will punish them, and how every single deed, actually misdeed, it will be catered for and it will be recompensed in whatever way Allah chooses to see fit. So these are the subjects that are going to be discussed today. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a verse which we may have heard many times before, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will never forgive it when shirk is committed with Him, and He can forgive anything else that He wants. But one thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive is shirk. Shirk means to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to claim that he has a son, to claim that he has a wife, to claim that he has an equal, to claim that he has helpers. All of these things fall into the category of shirk. These are blatant forms of shirk, but also prevalent in many societies are shirk, but lesser forms of shirk, or shirk that a person doesn't realize is shirk, but it does fall into that category. For example, in many cases we have, even in Western culture, you have issues, things like good luck charms, okay? A horseshoe, for example, or a rabbit's feet. Okay? The history of a rabbit's foot, it's supposed to be lucky. Where did that come from? A rabbit's foot is supposedly lucky because if you have ever seen a rabbit, when he's trying to dig a hole in the ground, it basically rubs his paws into the ground, okay? So what the pagans used to say was that this rabbit, it's trying to talk, or it's conversing with the gods of the grounds. Okay, so the fact that the rabbit is touching the ground or rubbing the ground very furiously, that shows that he must be talking to the gods of the ground. Therefore, the rabbit's foot that is doing that, it's very lucky. Okay? And many people, you've noticed that, you know, what they say is that everything is going fine so far, touch wood. Okay? Touching wood, what does that mean? Touching wood means, again, in pagan times, what they used to say was that the gods live in trees, or the trees are a form of gods. So to touch them, or to basically touch them, or to put your hand on them for good luck, this will prevent you from evil. Okay? So all of these things, all of these rituals, have elements of shirk within them. Okay? So we have to avoid all these types of shirk. And particularly what happens in many countries is people going to graves, for example, to worship. Okay? Saying, even though the dweller of the grave, the person who's in the grave, he may have been a very pious person, but to go to the grave and actually ask at the grave, thinking that the person who's in the grave is going to answer your du'as, this is again tantamount to shirk. And on top of that, what many people tend to do, they make sajda in front of the grave, as if they are actually worshipping the grave itself. And on top of that, many people, what they do is they make the tawaf of the grave, just like making tawaf of the Kaaba. So all of these things are elements of shirk which are prevalent in the juhal and ignorant people, and this is something that really we have to educate people about, we have to tell people about, and you know, inform them that this is something that is unacceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive. So Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive any shirk that is committed with him, and he can forgive anything other than that, whatever he wants. So if a person commits a sin, he should never lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should make sincere tawbah, and he should turn to him and repent to him with the intention that he's not going to return to that sin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive that sin. And we've talked about this issue as related to zina and things of that nature, which are major sins, but still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them that he can forgive them, and not only forgive them, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتٍ حَسَنَاتٍ. He can change the sayyi'at into hasanat also. So this is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which we should take advantage of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, وَمَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. Whoever commits shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he has gone very far astray. He has gone astray too much to a degree that Allah will not forgive him. إِن يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَّا إِنَاثًا وَإِن يَدْعُونَ إِلَّا شَيْطَانًا مَرِيدًا. This is particularly talking about the people of Mecca, the Quraysh, what they used to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are calling only Inath. Inath has different interpretations. The general meaning of Inath is the females. Okay, and we'll discuss what it means. And he goes on to say, وَإِن يَدْعُونَ إِلَّا شَيْطَانًا مَرِيدًا. And they are only calling the shaytan who was accursed, the one who was thrown out. Okay, so what does it mean by Inatha? The literal meaning, like we said, it means the females. But what are the females? One interpretation is that it means, Aisha radiallahu anha says, it means awthan, the statues that the people used to worship. Why? Because generally, the statues, they used to have female names. Okay, during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, Lat, Manat, and Naila, and so on. These were female names that were given to the statues. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are worshipping these females, meaning the female named statues they are worshipping. Another interpretation is that the people used to say that the malaika, the angels, are the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they used to worship the malaika, the angels, who they claimed were the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَّا إِنَاثًا. They are calling these females, which refers to the female, or so they thought, the angels, which were females. According to another interpretation, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, Inatha refers to the mawta, meaning the people who have passed away, the dead. They call upon them to answer their prayers. And again, it goes back to what we said earlier, to worship at graves. It serves no purpose whatsoever. We should be calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making dua to Him. And Hassan al-Basri says, Al-inathu kullu shay'in mayyitun laysa fihi ruh. Imma khashaba yabisa wa imma hajarun yabis. That anything that does not have any type of ruh in it, any kind of spirit in it, whether it's made out of dried wood, or it's like a rock or a stone, anything that does not have any type of ruh in it, any kind of soul in it, spirit in it, that could be determined, or that could be called inath. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَّا إِنَاثًا وَإِن يَدْعُونَ إِلَّا شَيْطَانًا مَرِيدًا. They are calling inath, the female things, or the statues, or the dead, and they are only calling upon the shaytan who is accursed, the one who was thrown out. And who is the shaytan? لَعَنَهُ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed this shaytan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed him. وقال لأتخذن من عبادك نصيبا مفروضا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or the shaytan actually said, that I will take from your slaves a fixed amount of people. Meaning, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threw him out of Jannah and gave him the curse, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for time. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him time, he said that with this time you've given me, I'm going to take full advantage of it and make sure that I take from your slaves as many people as I can with me into Jahannam. So according to one riwayah, it's mentioned, Qatada says, مِن كُلِّ أَلْفٍ تِسْعُمِئَةٍ وَتِسْعَةً وَتِسْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ. From every 1,999 people will be taken into the hellfire. Okay, according to Qatada. Okay, that could mean that initially that a person is going to go to Jahannam and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him for whatever reason. But this is again the opinion of Qatada, that nasiba mafruḍa, that the fixed amount is this 999 out of 1,001 will go into Jannah. So he said that most certainly I will take from your slaves a fixed amount. وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ. And most certainly I will lead them astray. The wording is very, very strong. If you know Arabic, it's not أُضِلُّهُمْ, but it's وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ. And the difference is أُضِلُّهُمْ means I'm going to lead them astray. But لَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ, it is very, very powerful and strong, that most certainly I will lead them astray. Most certainly, 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 for sure I will lead them astray. And again, وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ, and I will put wishes into their hearts. They will have all kinds of aspirations and dreams and desires. Again, وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ, most certainly I will give them these umniya, these desires and wishes in their hearts. وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ, and I will order them, most certainly order them to do things. I will most certainly order them to do things. فَلَيُبَدِّكُنَّ آذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ, and they're going to cut the ears of the animals. Okay, what does this refer to? In the days of Jahiliyyah, what the people used to do is that they used to allocate certain animals to their statues. Okay, so for example, one she-camel that had given birth to 10 children, 10 of its young, they would say, okay, this now is a holy camel, and now we're going to dedicate it to such and such statue. And to show that that animal had been dedicated to a certain statue, they used to cut off the ears of that animal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is from the shaytan. فَلَيُبَدِّكُنَّ آذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ. I will most certainly order them to do things, and they're going to cut off the ears of the animals. وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. And most certainly I will order them to do things, and they will make the ghir, they will change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from this we get the issue of the ghiru khalqillah. It is something which is haram. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned in a hadith, those women who put tattoos on in those days, and even to this day in the Middle East, women put tattoos on their faces for beautification purposes. And those women that use false hair and extensions, and those women that make gaps in their teeth, and basically anything that is natural, they change the natural look and make it unnatural. This is something which is both taghyiru khalqillah, and that is something which is haram and not permissible to do. Otherwise, a woman, for example, or a man, his face is unnatural in some way. His nose is very disfigured, or he's born with like a cleft palate, or something which looks very unnatural. To make that look natural by operation or plastic surgery, that is permissible to do. But other than that, to do things which change your creation when there is actually nothing wrong with you, this is something which is forbidden in the Sharia. And this is the rule, that if you are changing a natural look that you already have, then that is something that is not permissible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the shaitan says, وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ, most certainly I will order them and they will change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And according to some mufassirin, because it is mentioned after the cutting off of the ears of the animals, some scholars say that in the days of Jahiliyyah, what they used to do was, they used to brand the animals on their faces. You know, the branding, even branding is done even here in many countries, where you take a hot iron and put it on the animal so that the owner knows, this is my animal. So every farm has a specific sign which is specifically for that farm. So when they brand the animal, that animal cannot get lost. If it gets lost, it gets returned to the owner. So in the days of Jahiliyyah, they used to brand the animal on the face. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the taghyiru khalqillah is taking place, that the branding of the animal on the face, it is not permissible. To even slap an animal on the face is not permissible. So how is it to do that for the creation? We tend to slap our kids on the faces. This is something that we should try to avoid as much as possible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this taghyiru khalqillah, according to mufassirin, then is the branding of the faces of the animals, which is not permissible in Sharia and is forbidden in a hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to say, وَمَنْ يَتَّخِذِ الشَّيْطَانَ وَلِيًّا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ خَسِرَ خُسْرَانًا مُبِينًا. Whoever takes the shaytan as a wali, as a friend, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he has attained a very clear and open loss. He is at a complete and utter loss if he is befriending the shaytan instead of befriending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Then he is completely, in this world and in the hereafter, he is going to be at a loss. يَعِدُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ. The shaitan promises them things and he makes them wish for things. وَمَا يَعِدُهُمْ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. And the only promises of the shaitan are false and are lies. So what will the shaitan say on the Day of Judgment? He will say that I called you and you responded to me. That's all I did. I just called you. You didn't have to follow me. I made promises to you, but I lied. As simple as that. He'll present himself on the Day of Judgment. He will say that this was the very purpose of my existence. This was why I existed. And you were the ones who took it upon yourselves to follow me. It's your problem, not my problem. Okay, so Allah says, يَعِدُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ. He gives promises to them and makes them wish for things. وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. And the shaitan is only promising false promises to the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ. For such people, their abode is the hellfire. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ عَنْهَا مَحِيصًا. They're not going to be finding any salvation from it. They're not going to be able to come out from it once they go inside. That eternal punishment is for such people. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَنُدْخِلُهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Those people that do good deeds, that have iman and do good deeds, we're going to enter them into paradises, into gardens. تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. Underneath there are rivers flowing them. Underneath them there are rivers flowing. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. And they're going to stay in them forever and ever. وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقًّا. This is the true promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ أَسْتَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. And whose words can be more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So on the one hand, the shaitan is making promises And on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making promises. But the human being, he wants to take the promises of the shaitan and wants to follow in the footsteps of the shaitan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making promises, and the human being does not want to follow in the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How unjust is that? Whereas the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are true. The promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not fabricated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to break his promise. This is again and again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the promise of Allah is true. وَمَنْ أَسْتَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Whose words can be more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we have to take upon ourselves to follow in the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the understanding that Allah will fulfill His promise for us, which will be, first of all, His pleasure. He's going to be pleased with us, and He will give us eternal happiness and bliss by putting us into paradise. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something very strong and very powerful and very important. Allah says, لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِي أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. You know, we have this kind of attitude that we, as Muslims, we say, yes, we're on the right path, we're on the true religion. No other religion is, more truthful than ours. We are on the true path and the best path, and so on and so forth. And the Christians say the same thing, and the Jews say the same thing, the Mushrikeen, the Hindus say the same thing. So what is the difference between all of us? The difference should be that if a person is claiming to be a Muslim and he's claiming to be on the right path, his actions should show that. It's not just a case of lip service and just saying that we are on the true path and just claiming we're on the true path and thinking that is enough for us. And this is unfortunately the case with many of us. We think just because we've read La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, that is our ticket to Jannah and we don't need to do anything else. This is not what it's about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيكُمْ. It's not your claims. It's just the fact that you're claiming to be a Muslim. And just because your name is Abdullah or Abdul Rahman, just because you were born into the household of a Muslim family, that you should have like a fixed place in Jannah, or you get your reservation in Jannah because of that. That's not how it works. With the claim of being a Muslim, your actions should also reflect that. So, لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِي أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. It's not your claims, and not even the claims of the people of the book. مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ وَلَا يَجِدْ لَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. Whoever does anything bad, whether a so-called Muslim, or whether a Christian, whether a Jew, مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ. He's going to be punished for it. Whoever does anything bad, he will be punished for it. He will get a recompense for it. وَلَا يَجِدْ لَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. He will not find, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a helper, a friend or a helper. This ayah, when it was revealed, it was very difficult for the Sahaba to fathom and understand this. That Allah is saying that you do any small action, you'll be punished for it. It's reported that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was very, very upset when he heard this. He said, Ya Rasulullah, كيف الفلاح بعد هذه الآية? How can a person become successful after this ayah? This ayah, we're reading it, we're listening to it, and it says that whoever does anything bad, he will be recompensed for it, he will be punished for it. So how can that be? So, فَكُلُّ سُوءٍ عَمِلْنَاهُ جُزِيْنَا بِهِ. Every bad thing that we do, we're going to be punished for it. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكِ يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you, O Abu Bakr. أَلَسْتَ تَمْرَضْ. Do you never get sick? أَلَسْتَ تَنْصَبْ. Do you never get tired? أَلَسْتَ تُصِيبُكَ الْأَوَى. Do you ever find yourself in any kind of difficulty or hardship? قَالَ بَلَى. Yes, of course, he said. I always, and all humans, they go through difficult points in their time. So the Prophet ﷺ said, فَهُوَ مِمَّا تُجْزَوْنَ بِهِ. This is the jaza that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, that any kind of problem that you have in this world, you get sick, even like a thorn you get in your foot, This is the jaza that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you. So when a person is faced with any type of hardship in this world, he should assume that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving his sins because of that. Okay, so that there will be nothing left to recompense for on the Day of Judgment. There's another riwayah which is similar. It is mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ said himself to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Ya Abu Bakr, ala uqri'uka ayatan unzilat alayya. Oh Abu Bakr, should I not recite upon you an ayah which was revealed upon me? Qultu bala ya Rasulullah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, of course, O Prophet of Allah. Qal fa aqra aniha fala a'lamu anni qad wajadtu infisaman fi dhahri hatta tamattaytu laha. That I heard this ayah and I found just such a pain in my back because of this that I just laid down flat. You know, because it was so, you know, when a person gets stressed out, his shoulders start hurting and he gets really. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu heard this ayah and he got so stressed out that he just laid down. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this, he said, Ma laka ya Abu Bakr? What happened to you, O Abu Bakr? Qultu bi abi anta wa ummi ya Rasulullah. May my mother and my father be sacrificed upon you, O Prophet of Allah. Wa ayyuna lam ya'mal su. Which one of us doesn't do any bad deed? Wa inna lamujzawna bi kulli su'in 'amilnahu. And each one of us are going to be punished for any bad deed that we do. Faqala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ama anta ya Abu Bakr wa ashabuka al-mu'minun. فَإِنَّكُمْ تُجْزَوْنَ بِذَلِكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَتَّى تَلْقَوُ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبٌ. The Prophet ﷺ said, as for you, O Abu Bakr, and the people who are like you, you're going to be given your punishment in this world until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take away all of your sins. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُونَ فَيُجْمَعُ ذَلِكَ لَهُمْ حَتَّى يُجْزَوْ بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. As for the others, all of that is going to be accumulated until they're going to be given that on the Day of Judgment. So, you know, you just weigh up what you want. Do you want to have an easy life with no difficulty in this world? Or do you want, you know, some illness, some loss of job, some difficulty and get your sins forgiven because of that? What do you want? What do we want? We should of course ask for afiyah all the time. And afiyah meaning that safety from all problems at all times. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us with something, we should accept that with patience and happiness, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of that, is forgiving our sins. And there are many, many other riwayat like this. There's one more that is also very powerful. It's mentioned that Ali ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu narrates from his daughter that she asked Aisha radiallahu anha about this ayah, the same ayah which we're reciting. فقالت ما سألني أحد عن هذه الآية منذ سألت عنها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Aisha radiallahu anha says that nobody has ever asked me about this ayah before, you know, since I personally asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم about this ayah. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يا عائشة هذه مبايعة الله للعبد مما يصيبه من الحمى والنكبة والشوكة حتى البضاعة فيضعها في كمه فيفزع لها فيجدها في جيبه. So the Prophet ﷺ said, O Aisha, this is a trade that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done for him with his slave, that whatever he gets from sickness, from fever, and any kind of a thorn that he gets on his foot, even if a person, he puts something in his kum, meaning he puts it in his, he thinks that he puts something in his sleeve. So some people have kind of, you know, when you have a thobe and you put something in your sleeve, then, you know, it was used for safekeeping. So he thinks that he puts it in his sleeve and he looks for it and he gets upset that where's my money gone or where's my wallet gone, and then he looks in his pocket and he finds it in his pocket. Okay, so even that kind of fear that he got for like a few seconds, that he had the wallet and it disappeared somewhere, even that is a means for the forgiveness of a person's sin. So look at how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So, فَيَفْزَعُ لَهَا فَيَجِدُهَا فِي جَيْبِهِ. He becomes upset and then he finds it in his pocket. So this happens to us maybe all the time. You know, we think that the wallet's in this side of the pocket, and then we start looking for it and start panicking, and then finally we find it on the other side of the pocket. So even that is a means of our sin, forgiveness of sins. So, The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to say, حتى إن المؤمن لا يخرج من ذنوبه كما أن الذهب يخرج من الكير, or حتى إن المؤمن لا يخرج من ذنوبه كما أن الذهب يخرج من الكير, and the mu'min is taken away from his sins just like that gold which is taken out of the furnace. When you put the gold in the furnace, what is it? What is the purpose behind that? Okay, you burn it, you melt it, and the impurities, they melt away. What is left behind in the furnace is pure, solid gold, 24 karat gold. Okay, so this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about these difficulties in a person's life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ وَلَا يَجِدْ لَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. Whoever does bad deeds, he will be punished for them, and he will not find other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a friend or a helper. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى. Whoever does good deeds, whether male or female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, while he is in the state of iman, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ. Those are the people that will enter Jannah. Not just with claims. All of these conditions have to be met. Male or female, good deeds, state of iman. These are the things that we need. Not just to say that I'm a Muslim or to claim I'm a Muslim. That's not enough. Okay? So, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Whoever does good deeds, whether male or female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, while they are in a state of iman, then such people, they will enter paradise. وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ نَقِيرًا. And they're not going to be oppressed in any way, shape or form. Naqir is the little, if you have ever opened a date up, and that little thread that comes out from the date pit, that is called a naqir. And that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will not be even oppressed equivalent to that little thread that you find in the date. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ دِينًا مِمَّنْ أَسْلَمُ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ وَاتَّبَعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمًا خَلِيلًا. And whose deen can be better than that person who turns his face towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who submits his face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When in Arabic you say the word face, it means the whole body, because the face is the most important part of the body. So whoever submits himself completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his deen is the best. وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ, while he is doing good. وَاتَّبَعَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا, and he follows in the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. What was the way that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, how was he? We read again and again that he was tested again and again by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he passed all of his tests. وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam a lot. He completed and passed all of the tests that were presented to him. So as a result of that, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he took Ibrahim to be a khalil, to be a beloved friend. And we are instructed to follow in his footsteps. And when we follow our beloved Prophet Sunnah, we are automatically following in the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِإِبْرَاهِيمَ لَلَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ وَهَذَا النَّبِيُّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Indeed, the closest to Allah, to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, are the people who followed him, meaning who saw him visually and followed him in his footsteps. And this Prophet, meaning the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So if you follow in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, we are automatically following in the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And whoever follows in the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, maybe he might make him a khalil, just like he made Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam a khalil. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُحِيطًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is encompassing everything in his knowledge, in his wisdom, in his rahmah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encompassing everything and he is in control of everything. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said to us.